Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for the first episode of the year of One Last Thing with my co-host, Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Would have been better with a win, but at least most of the AFC North also squandered their first week opportunities, so at least we've got that to be thankful for.
Yeah, in a relative sense, I think you're right on the money. We're going to kind of do this fast. We've always wanted this to be a shorter episode. Love the idea anyway. What we got is two positives and two concerns each coming out of week one. In fact, I think this is almost a great format to stay with, but it's definitely the one we're going for week one. Let's go with the bad news first, and we'll finish with the positives out of this. So Slava, what's your first concern?
Yeah, so one of my first concerns is something that I think has been sort of discussed in the offseason. Steve Young has brought this sort of thing up a couple times, but Lamar, I think, is still relying a little bit on his ability to be amazing while sort of missing the easy stuff, the stuff that the defenses give him, or just, you know, not delivering on some really sort of straightforward plays throughout the game.
Yeah, I agreed with that entirely. I mean, some of it is that Lamar doesn't really play on schedule a lot. And some of the easy throws are presented by receivers who turn at the end of a route and who break out of that, Bateman in particular. We didn't see much of that. The one play to Bateman, the long one, obviously, was really more of an off-schedule throw. He had one earlier catch, didn't he?
He definitely had an earlier target. I don't recall whether he had an earlier catch, but the on-schedule really wasn't there this game. One of the things, you know, everybody talks about, you know, every season people say, why do you play anybody in the preseason or whatnot? And if I'm not mistaken, I think Kansas City actually did play Mahomes a little bit in the preseason. I'm sure a very vanilla version of what they were operating. But, you know, they did look like a team that was not, was all together in a game situation for the first time. Lamar missed some of these, you know, behind the line of scrimmage throws, when we'll probably be getting to that a little bit later in more depth. But, it, you know, some of these very easy throws that sort of can be drive killers I didn't see much of any sort of timing routes used, you know, at all. And this sort of just, I feel like this sort of resistance to incorporating that aspect into his game just ends up doing some of the defense's work for them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And obviously, missing Flowers in the back of the end zone, bad bummer of a way to end the game there when that was the easier throw to make than the likely throw. But you're right. I mean, he didn't have a super exceptional game in terms of his opportunity set. Want to move on a little bit, stick with the wide receivers, though. I think that the use of Zay Flowers as a gadget player is something I was really disappointed with. That this was a year after the second half of the year, they'd been used on many deeper routes. The player they have right now who could help them with a lot of the gadget plays is Deonte Hardy. Now, you don't want to immediately give away the notion that you're running a gadget play by having Hardy in there to replace, say, Bateman or Aguilar or whoever it might be. But on the other hand, you probably need to have Hardy in there more plays to try and threaten gadget plays. And I think that it took away from what they were able to do in terms of stretching the Kansas City defense.
Yeah, it was extremely frustrating. Again, you're doing the defense's job for them. Every time they see Zay Flowers not stretching the field, I think, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is thrilled, right? Because they don't have guys that can keep up with Zay Flowers. Mm-hmm. There's nobody on the field that can do that. Part of me thinks that even if you just had Zay Flowers do some deep route every single time, you know, that would have more utility, because it would really require, you know, at least, you know, one to two defenders to really key in on him on the back end.
You know, one of the players who missed out and didn't have a good game is Mark Andrews. I mean, Mark Andrews is bracketed a lot. Well, that's the whole hope of getting safety help to, you know, get attention to Zay Flower, to get the attention of safety help, is that it does free up your tight ends. Well, likely Andrews, either one of them, to get more one-on-one opportunities and better shots. And they had to funnel almost everything through Likely, who was the tight end who got more single coverage in this game. Andrews, unfortunately, was not really a part of the offense. Now, I don't think anything about Andrews' performance is an indication that he's done. I think it's a problem with the scheme of the Ravens that they will be able to solve and work through as time moves through the season.
I agree. And I also did sort of, it kind of looked to me, this is not based on anything that I've specifically read or anything, it just looked to me that maybe Andrews is not at 100% game shape yet, conditioning wise. Mm-hmm. You know, he did miss some time and was already missing time before that car accident. So I'm not reading into like any kind of lingering injury or whatever. He just looked a little bit more, winded than I, you know, on a couple shots on the sideline. So it's possible he's working his way back.
He has looked, by the way, great this summer prior to the car accident. And it's actually an injury that happened the day before the practice where the car accident occurred. He sat out the end of practice that day. But prior to that, he really looked like still Lawrence's favorite target, diving all over the field to make plays. A lot of my concerns about him had gone away, but that's a good one. So that was your second one, right?
That was your first.
So, yeah. Please go ahead with your second.
Defensive adjustments. I was trying to put the words to what bothered me about the defensive coaching, and I think it's actually something that applies to the coaching just generally when we play the Chiefs. It feels to me that the coaching staff is so afraid to make mistakes that will cost them the game that they would prefer to die by the decisions that the Kansas City Chiefs make. You know, like they're saying, I don't want to make the wrong decision, so I'll just let the other side make the decision for me and just deal with it. It sounds like you got something to say, Ken. Go
ahead. I was going to say the Coach Derek of All 22 Films came on the defense show, and one of the things he said was that, and it makes a lot of sense because it's certainly a possible solution, is that the Ravens should have found a way to get physical with bunch formations, that they should have basically dropped an outside linebacker opposite bunch formations on that side of the field, given up something from the pass rush, and potentially gotten two for the price of one in terms of disrupting those routes. I mean, if you let them get the free release that they want, they're going to go off each other, and you've got three clouds you're trying to pick these guys up in. But if you disrupt that at the line of scrimmage, then you got less of a chance for Mahomes to know exactly when that throw is due, coming shallow against Roquan Smith, where there's already a big disadvantage. So I like the idea a lot. I don't think it's necessarily the only way that you could do it, but it's a great idea to basically do that. That's not my idea. Once again, that's Coach Derek, but good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's important to probe the weaknesses and try different things, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're just stubborn and you're just saying, I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I think it's a winning philosophy, well, again, you're doing the opponent's work for them. They don't have to guess, or they don't have to figure anything out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if we're not going to give you a free release, you know, that certainly changes things from down to down. I know that there's been a lot made of having Harrison versus Simpson in there. And I understand to some extent, Simpson's a young player. You want that veteran savvy on the inside, but you're putting Harrison in a really bad situation by putting him back in a middle linebacker. I just disagree with the decision from a philosophical standpoint. Like you've pointed out many times, Harrison has reshaped his body to be an outside linebacker. He's not built like an inside linebacker anymore. And so he doesn't necessarily have that athleticism or that change of direction. And he was exposed a number of times because of that. And that's not really a criticism of him because he's playing out of position.
Right.
We've talked about where you've talked about many times about Harrison potentially being the only on team replacement for Roquan Smith on an early down basis. But that's an emergency situation. That's your in-game replacement, back and forth. And, Harrison between inside and outside linebacker does him no favors. I think Simpson earned the right to fail, as you've said a number of times in the past. And I think Simpson played better in that position just because he made a couple plays, whereas Harrison was abused by Rashee Rice, which shouldn't surprise anybody. And the athleticism's not there. Secure tackling would have reduced several chunk plays, in my opinion. Yeah.
I could completely agree, by the way, with your logic there. The other thing I would say is the Ravens and the Chiefs each have their offensive weapon, the force the other team to make decisions weapon on offense. I mean, it's Mahomes and Jackson for starters are two guys, but I mean, also that's true of Zay Flowers, for example. They force defenses to react to them. The one piece that we didn't really see used effectively in this game was Kyle Hamilton. He's the piece the Ravens have on defense, which allows them to say, and the guy on defense that Kansas City had, I thought, where they forced the Ravens into a lot of choices, some of the bad, was Leo Chanel. And he was up close to the line of scrimmage, and he was making plays. I mean, he was probably the Chiefs' best defensive player in that game. And the one play where they scored the first touchdown on was because they got a nice seal on Chanel. Otherwise, I think he would have had the tackle there. But boy, that guy is freaking great as a tackler at inside linebacker.
Yeah, and to your point on Hamilton, like Hamilton would have been the obvious choice in terms of showing some different pass rush looks. And, whether it's he's the fifth blitzer or he is showing blitz and potentially either replacing or not replacing one of your typical four pass rushers, he would have shown them some different looks. And you have to make the other side adjust. You have to make the other side guess from time to time. And we just didn't do that. And it was completely by virtue of our inability to or reluctance to show anything other than what we were showing the entire game.
All right. Let's get to my concern. And last one is the Kyle Van Noy injury, that if he is to miss time, and I don't know that they've said yet, but it looked like some sort of orbital eye socket kind of injury. It will put a lot of pressure on the outside linebacker core if he's not able to deal with that. I've actually been sleeping this morning since this is a catch-up sleep day for me. So I don't know if something's been announced yet today from the castle to discuss that. But they may have to go to the open market and get another guy who can rush the passer if Adisa Isaac, for example, is not able to come back. And even in this game, they really heavily, heavily relied on Owe to play way more snaps than he ever has before. They were fortunate, in a sense, that the Chiefs didn't have a lot of offensive snaps. It was 74-50. And even if you play 90% of the snaps in a game like that at outside linebacker, that might be less than you would play in some games.
And Ken, just to confirm, it is a fractured orbital bone. I honestly don't really have, some accounts on here are saying that's a 2 to 4 week thing. I honestly, couldn't provide any better guess than that, but certainly not something you would expect that next week he would be available. I guess the silver lining that I would say here is that Ojabo did look pretty good to the eye test, not just because he had that sack, but He had burst. He was physical, I thought. And this will give him an opportunity to, get some more reps and all of that. But I would certainly imagine that they would need, at least for the sake of rotation, to get somebody else the team.
And they actually have enough, I think, at outside linebacker, and they might still, if they move Harrison back there and take some early down relief of those plays, Tavius Robinson could play more core. So they have six guys on the team who can play outside linebacker. But Adisa Isaac was injured, outstanding, and injured in the preseason in 3 weeks. I think you have to obviously activate him while Van Noy is down, if you can get him, healthy. But I understand he is working through something right now. They went to the trouble of not putting him on the season starting IR, which would have made him not available to week five, but that option was available to them. So maybe he's an option anyway coming up.
He did not practice today, but here's hoping, particularly given that this was a Thursday night game, that mm-hmm. that little extra bit of time might work in our favor before the next game.
All right. Fair enough. Let's move on to the positives now. We still have a lot of negatives, obviously, coming out of a game like this. We haven't mentioned the offensive line yet, which could really go in either category. But what's your first or positive?
Yeah, I think the first positive that I would say is that the interior defensive line, I thought, looked pretty formidable. Matabike generated, I thought, a lot of first pressures, and quite frankly, the entire unit. I mean, just it's a considerable test against one of the best interior offensive lines in the league, and they were up to task. The yards per carry overall for the Chiefs was not significant. They didn't get a ton of chunk plays or anything like that. I thought the run game was contained. And I think, a point that you made on the defensive show that's really important is situationally, right? Like they only picked up, I think you said the Chiefs only picked up three first.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Downs on run plays.
I think that is correct. Might have been four. Let me go back to it here really quickly. But yeah, either way, go ahead with the rest of the point here.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I don't have it actually in front of me. But it's going to take me another minute to bring it up. Okay.
Well, no problem.
I got the game book clicking ahead, but I completely agree with you in terms of the what happened in that game. We certainly have a defensive line that's able to do the job. I thought it was very weird that they didn't activate Brent Urban for the game. it didn't end up causing them to lose the football game because they held the Chiefs to 50 snaps. But I don't like it from a risk management standpoint. I don't think they got nearly enough from it in terms of the dynamic kickoff to offset the cost. And I think more and more teams as the season goes along are just going to be accepting that, hey, just give the opponent the ball at the 30-yard line, and it really reduces your special teams workload and injury risk for a game.
I think that's completely the right move. I really, for as much interesting discussion that's sort of academic about what advantage one might be able to potentially derive from these new rules, and particularly while other teams are kind of getting accustomed to it, at the end of the day, starting at the 30, I would take it every single day instead of risking being down to three defensive linemen. I mean, I think it's an unacceptable risk. I disagree with it. Luckily, like we said, the defensive line played really well. They didn't appear to be worn down, even though they were sort of undermanned in that respect. But it's a long season. You know, why do that to yourselves? Why create such a high snap count for each of these players who are going to be really important?
All right, we'll keep the show moving here. I'd look at plus one as being the offensive line. I could have put this in either category, but I think there was more to actually like from the offensive line play. No matter how you slice it, the Ravens gave Lamar a pretty damn good opportunity set. And he ran them out of seven pressures, which is really something. The right tackle play looks atrocious. But then on the other hand, you got way better than expectation out of both guards in the game. The Voorhees had struggled all preseason. He really played better than that. Falele has struggled his whole career. And he played the best game he's ever played. And I'm not saying that I still wouldn't rather have Cleveland there, because I look at Falele and I don't like what I'm seeing in terms of his technique. I don't like seeing his footwork and his arm usage anymore. But I've got to look at this and just be perfectly honest with myself and allow myself to be surprised by the outcomes as they unfold. It actually was a pretty good set of results from this football game. So I put this in the positive category, and I think that the Ravens can probably work with what they used this week again versus Las Vegas and have a pretty good chance to win.
I agree. It's funny to say this, to put the offensive line in the positive column in a game that's sort of a microcosm of every single one of these offseason decisions that the Ravens have made, right? So they decided to replace three of their players, where I think you and I both agree we would have preferred to keep Morgan Moses at the price that we got him. And then obviously on one side, you've got Roger Rosengarten, who's not really starting for us yet, but rotating in and not playing that well, versus Kingsley Suamataia, who definitely had his struggles in this game, but is starting at left tackle, right? So all of these things sort of highlight the decisions that the Ravens have made, and they'll have to live and die by those decisions. Certainly I think they performed better than they had, certainly. And part of that, you would imagine having Linderbaum back between the guards is extremely helpful. That communication is incredibly important. And also, you know, Ronnie Stanley, I don't really count those penalties that much against him, because I personally believe Ronnie Stanley when he says, this is not what I was communicated, these penalties are going to be enforced, number one. And, you know, Ronnie is a veteran. He's not stupid. He's not an excuse maker. I firmly believe him. And I think that it's going to be something that he's going to be able to correct as early as this week, you know, and that was the big story about him. But I think that what the big story should be is he was moving around really well, and he looks like he's picked up where he left off at the end of last season. And that is incredibly important.
I'll go back further. I think he looked the best he has since the first half of 2020, since right before the contract was signed. He had the ankle injury, all that. But the Ronnie Stanley I saw made a bunch of blocks downfield. I think it was six blocks in level two. I've got to look at my offensive line article again, but it doesn't matter. Qualitatively, he made a lot of contributions to plays where a normal tackle does not contribute on the backside of the run. And that's the Ronnie Stanley of old. You want him to be the you know, the good mirror and the other things. And he had, you know, a good but not great game as a pass blocker. What he did, I thought, that was really exceptional that we hadn't seen from him in a long time, was this getting into level two of making blocks.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the thing that was probably the most concerning was what right tackle is going to look like. And, you know, that's going to be a week by week thing. I think the offensive line from what it could have been versus what it was against a pretty talented defense, I think that was a good place to start. And I think you would expect improvement week over week.
All right. So the offensive line and how they played was mine. What's yours?
So mine was that Isaiah Likely looks like a star. Now we knew this, through the second half of last year. But like the rapper Nas said once, yeah, you went platinum once. Yeah, that's nice. Let me see you do the same thing twice.
Okay.
Right. So Likely is picking up where he left off. He's showing us that last year wasn't necessarily just a product of not having Mark Andrews on the field. I think he I couldn't believe it. This morning I was listening to your offensive show with Sarah, and and she stole one of my talking points, is that it was very Derek Mason-esque. Not that their skill sets are exactly the same, but just from the point of Derek Mason had that comeback route with Joe Flacco, everybody knew that's exactly what he was going to be running. That's exactly what he was going to be doing on every single, you know, third down or whatever. And they still couldn't stop him. And that's exactly what Likely looked like at the on that last drive. Everybody knew that he was going to be, on the boundary looking to get out. And nobody could stop him. I mean, he just, you know, tight ends that are, every single year there's a tight end that emerges that's sort of like athletic, and everybody's like, oh, he's basically a wide receiver. And usually that's really overstating it. Mm-hmm. I think Isaiah Likely really is, you know, on that line of wide receiver and tight end.
So much to like about Likely's performance. Obviously, he and Lamar definitely have the connection now. And even during camp this year, I was a little bit concerned about Lamar really being connected to Andrews more than anybody else still. Okay, then we get to this game. And what actually happened? Well, they doubled Andrews, as we mentioned earlier, a fair amount in the concerns and whatnot. Some of that, I think, again, is Zay Flowers not peeling the top off the defense. But I think it's going to really force opposing teams to pick their poison. Very important to keep all this group healthy, because it's not a super deep group. You know, in terms of their drop off a tight end to their third tight end as a receiver is pretty far. So they definitely at that position they need to try and remain healthy. They also got a very healthy competition for snaps, which I like. Is a good thing. And I think that other teams are going to have to, you know, allocate more assets to taking care of Likely. And actually, this offseason, Ravens are going to be looking for cap dollars. And Mark Andrews, you know, honestly, may be a cap casualty at this point, given how well Likely's played. But they have to find the players who are going to help them not spend money for 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this pretty early into Likely's sort of emergence last season, and I really do think that this is probably Mark Andrews' last year in Baltimore. Sad to say, I mean, it's been a phenomenal run, and I think that he is still going to be a really incredible contributor here, but Isaiah Likely is sort of emerging as this just do everything player. I mean, his blocking has improved. You saw him put Karloftis on his ass. That was phenomenal. I mean, listen, anybody can sort of like, you know, maybe not get your footing down, but he put him on his ass, and the ups that he showed on that unfortunately out of bounds catch at the very end was incredibly impressive. And I think teams are going to have to account for him.
Yes, completely agree. And I think we'll leave it at that, because I think we said enough about Isaiah Likely. I'll move on to my second positive here, which I think was the cornerback play was simply outstanding. And we got to look at the depth of the group. It's kind of difficult to say that in a 12-snap game, Jalen Armour-Davis plays as well as he ever has, but that's honestly what happened. He wasn't targeted in 12 snaps. Mahomes was finding that guy and going to the middle of the field to go after the inside linebackers, that doesn't mean that he hasn't been tested in some way. He's out there trying to cover somebody, and Mahomes says that's not worth it. I think we'll see more of the middle of the field getting tested. Also, was the safeties too, some where that was happening. It's really nice to have four deep. I thought Wiggins was fantastic as well. The one downhill play was a little wide receiver screen to that side. Owe and he diagnosed it together. Owe got there a little bit first to get the tackle, and he got the assist on it. But Wiggins looks absolutely terrific to me. And I think they've, in a way, the two of them, but Wiggins more, has forced the Ravens' hand into playing Humphrey in the slot on third down. So they played, 27 snaps with Humphrey, I guess, in the slot. And they played another five with our Darius Washington in the slot where Humphrey was on the outside. So, these three other players, Washington, Wiggins, and Armitt Davis, are really trying to force their way in, or forcing their way into the Ravens defensive plan.
Yeah. Having a lot of good options is always a good thing. I'd prefer that the lion's share of the nickel snaps go to Kyle Hamilton, just because his sort of the variety of what he can do from that position exceeds everybody.
Yeah, they did do that still. So it was still, they had, I think it was, Hamilton was out for four plays, so he missed some, but I think it was 18, 19. It was whatever the remainder was. And there were only 50 snaps where he was in the, might have been over 20 actually, where he was still at slot corner. I'm not really concerned about the Ravens doing that less. I think they'll do it more when it's appropriate. When you've got a quarterback, you can manipulate more when the size of that underneath defender is such. And when you got a quarterback who makes some bad decisions, Hamilton's a great choice. He's huge. He can get in a passing lane. You can create advantages for him. So I think it's a great point that you make. I want to see him more there too.
And I like the philosophy of rotating in Armour Davis, not because, I think he's as good an option of Wiggins or anything, but it is something that we often talk about. It's an investment in the season as sort of a, we're going to have to rely on these players at some point. Right? Yeah. Right. And you don't want Jalen Armour Davis's first meaningful snaps to be in week 15, right? Like, so you want to get him some meaningful snaps, some contested, legitimate contested plays every single week that it's, possible to do so, because it's going to pay off.
Yeah, I'll give you an upside potentially is if you get to the trade deadline and there's another team out there who's already had two injuries at corner, which happens every year. There's always teams that need to do it. And the Ravens' health holds up, and that's a big combined ask, because the team that has the corners missing has to also think they still have a chance in the season and be able to trade something for it. You might have some serious draft capital on your hands in a trade of Armour Davis if you wanted to do that. So they've got options. Him being a third-year player helps in terms of its value. He actually hurts the Ravens in terms of the value, because he'll be around in 2025. They may have to replace Stevens. They may have to replace Humphrey next year, just like the tight end position. Choices may have to be made. I actually think, from what I've seen this summer, Humphrey is the best defensive player in camp. Our Darius Washington made a great charge down the stretch to kind of have a chance to be as good, but Humphrey was the most dominant defensive player. He's finding the football. I think the move to safety for him is probably imminent, and that may be a case where he stays and Marcus Williams goes. So the Ravens have got, out of their cornerback group and out of their safety group, they have a lot of ability to solve problems at inside linebacker, at slot corner, at keeping the defense very variety based.
The bottom line, secondary is looking really, really deep and talented. And I think that we are, we've got a lot of good play to look forward to this season.
All right. Outstanding. Slava, it's always great to get together and talk football with you. It's been a while, and we get to, a nice quality back and forth discussion like this. I hope we can continue it all the way through the regular season. I know your schedule sometimes does not allow that, but tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaCooperstein.
All right. And if you have questions for Slava and me together, and we may consider, at least alternatively, this concerns format for a time, please post them, particularly if you have a concern that we don't seem to be addressing, we don't think is a significant issue. Hit them up and use hashtag film study mailbag to do so. If you would, it's hashtag film study mailbag, and then also put in something about this is, hey, this is a question for one last thing. What do you guys think about blah, blah, blah? Or I'm noticing that the left guard play isn't holding up no matter how you're scoring it. I would label that as a concern. That sort of thing. Either way is fine. We'll make sure we try and get to that on the show. For Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.